Let's pray together one more time, all right? Lord Jesus, you've brought us into another day filled with abundant sunshine. And Lord, whether our days are filled with clouds or with sun, all of it is from you. So Lord, help us to receive it with grateful hearts. Help us to receive your word and your spirit today with grateful hearts, that we may believe and live in your name. Amen. So, something gets stuck in your head, you either love it or you hate it, right? You love it or you hate it. Yesterday, it was a lyric from the musical Hamilton, my son and I, we just had it going in our heads. And if you listen to Hamilton more than once, you can kind of pick up some of the lyrics. And then once you get one, you just kind of start going with it. And then we're like, well, now we just have to listen to the whole soundtrack. And so that's what happened, right? You either love it or you hate it. There's a little musical movie coming out by the name of Wicked. Maybe some of you have heard of that. And there was a line also yesterday in the afternoon. There was a line from one of those songs that got stuck in my head. And our family watched that last night. Maybe you're excited about the part two coming out. But it's true. Whatever gets stuck in your head, you either love it or you hate it. And sometimes something I hate that gets stuck in my head is like a memory of something foolish I did, or a moment where like just I can remember a bunch of people laughing at me or whatever. And so there's kind of embarrassing moments you'd sooner forget, or something maybe tragic you've done you'd rather forget, but it just sometimes that gets stuck on repeat in your head too. And so whether things that get stuck in your head, you either love it or you hate it. And this this part of I think it's verse 7, maybe verse 8, from Exodus 34. You either, by the end of this, you're either going to love it or hate it, because you're going to hear it a lot. All right, and it's the thing that God declares about himself, right? And he says, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Now, why would God declare this about himself? I mean, is it because it's the Old Testament and PR is, you know, at an all-time low back then? No, right? God doesn't need to explain this about himself for his own benefit, right? He is who he is regardless of whether we believe in him or not. But God is in this intimate moment with Moses, and he prompted Moses. He says, ask for whatever you will and I'll grant it in my name. And Moses asks him, all right, Lord, show me your glory. And God says, you don't really know what you're, this is a Troxel paraphrase, okay? You don't really know what you're asking for. So what I'm gonna do that because I told you and you asked, but what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna tuck you in a safe place, because if I actually showed you all of who I am, you couldn't handle it. My full presence would actually destroy you. So I'm going to protect you over in a rocky place. And then once I pass by, then you can like take a peek and catch a glimpse of my back. All right. That's how it's going to happen. And then, so God did this. And he, as we hear in verse 4, he also told Moses to cut two new tablets of stone, because Moses had literally broken the first set that God wrote. Moses broke those in anger at the nation of Israel's rebellion, right? He came back from the mountaintop with these things from God, and they were already just turning away from God in pretty fast fashion. And it's sometimes as we hear about that story, we're like, psh, these people, what's wrong with them? But when we actually think about it, that's more like you and me than we want to admit. And so in mercy, God calls Moses back up, but he tells him to chisel out his own tablets this time and write the words that God tells him, and he does. And then we get to this point in the story where God proclaims who he is. And this is kind of an interesting thing, because you see God and you experience God in these words behaving like a human, right? He stands, he speaks, he proclaims. This is Jesus before he's born as a human, right? So this is Jesus in God form before he's been born. And we get glimpse of this all throughout the accounts that we read in the Old Testament. And so as God is showing up here, the Lord is showing up here for Moses, proclaiming things about himself. He says some things that are wonderful, and then some things that are a little hard to take. But in all of this, and what David repeats about this in Psalm 103, we see God who takes sin seriously. He's very serious about justice. And when people turn from justice, that angers him, that bothers him. And we think how much, you know, injustice, oppression, violence, all of that bothers us. It bothers God to a much greater degree. And yet he's also patient and slow to anger. He doesn't treat us like our sins deserve, which sometimes bothers us because we want justice now. We want justice on our terms, on our timetable. And God's like, that's not how I work. I work on my time. It's my justice that I'm bringing about into this world. And so what we see through God in these accounts in Exodus 34 and Psalm 103, and then ultimately what we see in Jesus is a God who forgives sinners. We read about in both of these accounts that he's a God of grace. He's merciful and gracious, slow to anger, right? And he shows love to 1,000 generations, thousands of generations. And so when God forgives sinners, he turns enemies into family, right? That's what we see him do with the people of Israel, the descendants of a man named Jacob, who's known as Israel, and that's where the nation of Israel gets its name. Not necessarily the current nation of Israel, but they can track some of their blood descendants back to the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes of Jacob. And so that's why they call themselves that today. But we trace our lineage of faith back to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the guys that God brought his promises to. And those same people and their descendants that brought us the bloodline of Jesus. And it's through Jesus, right, that God fulfills his promise to Abraham. He says to Abraham, through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. All the nations, past, present, and future. And so it's through Jesus that we get to be part of the family of God. And so in any nation, in every nation, God is turning enemies into family through forgiveness. This is something that we're about here as Emmaus, a notion I had early on in starting this church. One of them is that why we plant in the first place, why we start new churches, is because new churches reach new people, right? And it's not that existing churches can't, but they've established, they've got rhythms, they're going to reach people that they're currently reaching. But new churches reach new people, and that's a bit of the heart behind what we're doing here. And another part of that is that in another notion that I had in starting a church with y'all and with God here is that we're at a time in our country, in our state, in our city, maybe even in your own families, where there's a lot of division. There's just so much division. And so churches should be a place where people can find common ground together. And even if not in Jesus, with neighbors who may not follow Jesus, God still calls us to live at peace with everyone as far as it depends on us. And so even in Jesus, whether people follow him or not, we can still find ways to create common ground with our neighbors. It's part of why we're doing this Grateful Neighbor event. Because forgiving sinners like us turns enemies into family. Because at one time, you too were an enemy of God. You too were someone that deserved only his wrath and his anger. Now the nations in the Old Testament, including Israel, got a taste of the wrath of God. But God was saving all of his wrath, all of his condemnation for his son, for Jesus. And so Jesus on the cross endured all of the wrath of God, taking all of the sins of the entire existence of humanity into himself in that one moment, so that he died once for all. And it's through Jesus God forgives sinners, and he turns enemies into family. So as we go through a few verses of these two readings from Exodus 34 and Psalm 103, three things I'd like you to consider. First one is that the Lord binds the broken. The Lord binds the broken. The Lord frees the bound, and the Lord leads forward in love. The Lord binds the broken, the Lord frees the bound, and the Lord leads forward in love. So let's check out Exodus chapter 34, verse 10, and then Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3. All right, read this along with me if you like. And the Lord said, "Behold, I am making a covenant. Before all people, I will do marvels such as have not been created in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do with you." Right? And he's talking about the story of Israel in the Old Testament, and then what God does in Israel, in Jesus, in the New Testament, and then what that means for Jews and Gentiles and everyone moving forward. That's what God is ultimately talking about here, but he's also talking about the immediate history of what God is doing in taking former slaves into a land that God promised them, into freedom. And so God talks about how he binds the broken. David comments in a few different places that we receive healing, right? He heals all our diseases. Let's go to this in Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases." Right, and there's more, but David keeps going, but this will do for now. Because when we're broken, when we're in need of healing, when our hearts are in pieces or our lives are in pieces, and we don't know that like how anybody or anything could possibly put us back together again, if you've experienced that level of brokenness in your life, you know that there isn't anything else that can bind you back together. Everything is broken. Nothing else works. And there are people here, myself included, we've tried other things, but nothing else works. And even there are some times where I'm led to doubt, maybe you're led to doubt the power and the work of God. But that doesn't mean God isn't faithful. In fact, even when I am faithless, when you are faithless, God is faithful. God works with you and works in you despite your sin, right? And there's God that has a history from Genesis to Revelation of coming to meet people right where they're broken and binding them together again, putting them back together again. God binds the broken. And so he doesn't just put your missing pieces back together or your broken pieces back together. He weaves more of you into that healing. How could that possibly happen? Because of who God is, right? He is the God who is a creator, redeemer, the one who gives life, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God is doing this work in you. So as he's healing your brokenness, he's weaving even more of yourself together. And so that when you come through that healing, when he's put you back together, you won't encounter the same level of brokenness again. It doesn't mean you won't be broken again, but God transforms you, and he brings strength to you. He helps you be resilient to face whatever else you may be facing in this life. So God binds the broken. We were, as pastor families do, right? We read devotions. And there was one line that referred to a quote from C.S. Lewis where famous Christian author. He writes that the doors of hell are locked from the inside. What does that mean? It means when we fall for temptation, we're tempted to do things that take us away from God. We find ourselves in a place we never thought we'd be, doing things we never thought we would do. And we turn around to leave it and we find out we're stuck. That we're so enamored with this temptation, this sin that we've brought into our lives, that we turn around and part of us doesn't want to leave. And so we lock the doors from the inside. And that's why Jesus needs to do what only he can through his suffering on the cross, his death, and his resurrection. He bursts through the locked doors to remind us of who he is, what his love actually looks like, what that means for us. And even the brokenness we've brought into our own lives and to others' lives is something that God can and does heal in Jesus. God binds the broken. And maybe you're saying, all right, Pastor Chris, he binds the broken. But even if Jesus binds the broken, all right, what about those who are in chains, wrapped around them by someone else? They're being oppressed. They've been hurt or harmed in some significant ways, and they can't find ways to free themselves. It's fine that God puts us back together, but what about this freedom God talks about in Exodus 34 and Psalm 103. So not only does the Lord bind what's broken, right, but he frees the bound. Let's read about that. Exodus 34, verse 7, Psalm 103, verses 2, 4, and 6. Read it together if you like. The Lord, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. What are some things you hear in those readings? What do you take with you from the words of God in Exodus and Psalm 103? Some things that I hear over and over are justice, satisfaction for justice, the cries of the cries because of oppression, and the satisfaction of those lifted from it. What God adorns you with, how he empowers you with grace and forgiveness. This is how God breaks chains. And even though in Exodus 34, the Lord goes on to say that what he does, he punishes children for the sins of the father to the third and fourth generation, meaning that some sins we pass on to our kids. And I hate that. It's something I loathe about being a sinner. And God also blesses those who love him and keep his commands for 1,000 generations. Now, is that like a good people, bad people thing? Like God only blesses the good people and God only punishes the bad people, right? That's how it is, right? And sometimes when we read scripture like this, that's how we're tempted to think. But that's not actually what God is saying. When we take these verses in context with the larger story of God and the world he's made and how Jesus was always the plan, that means that God knows the creation he was making was going to rebel against him. And that sinners like me and you who pass down our sin, whether because directly harming or just kids observe what they observe and what they learn from us and from others, carry that sin into 3 and 4 generations down, God limits the impact of our sin. He doesn't let our sin last for thousands of generations. And that means that, yes, our sin is a guilty thing. Right, we incur the wrath of God by how we rebel against him and how we harm others. And God doesn't let that keep us from him. Right, that again is why Jesus came, to take all that wrath, to take all that judgment, take all that shame and guilt into himself so that you are set free as well. And that you are counted among those now to whom God shows love to for thousands of generations, right? Sin is limited, but sin isn't nothing. God isn't just going to paper mache over it and pretend like injustice is okay. He's going to address it. He's going to bring freedom from oppression. And he's going to show love to you. And it's in Christ alone we get this love that goes over countless generations. So if you know someone who is suffering through oppression, somebody who is suffering injustice, now I'm not saying you should go preach to them, hey, it's going to be okay. God shows you love. He's going to, he will and he does. I would encourage you maybe to ask some questions of this friend of yours that's undergoing injustice and oppression and find ways you can show up for them. And it's in that presence, God brings his presence, right? And when the moment is right and you know the heart of your friend, they're probably more likely to receive this good news from God than just somebody coming in and telling that it's all going to be okay when everything in their life is not okay right now. Justice, satisfaction. God adorns you with grace and love like a crown upon your head. He gives you power and strength. And so even if God binds what's broken and he frees those who are bound, it's still possible to be healed from my brokenness, free from what seeks to bind me, and I can still feel stuck in my life and location, right? You can still feel stuck where you are. It just seems like maybe you're living through a Groundhog Day. It's just one day after another. All the days seem to blend together. It's all the same. What's the point? You can feel stuck. It's because the Lord leads forward in love. Let's read these verses together. And Moses said, if now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, please let the Lord go in the midst of us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance. Before we go on to Psalm, can we go back one there? No, Moses knows exactly the people, kind of people he's leading, right? Because he's one of them, right? Stiff-necked means stubborn. Stiff-necked means like the kid you're trying to get to go with you, and they're just pulling back against you as hard as they can in the opposite direction. Or, I mean, forgive the analogy, but like a dog that's leading you down the street, and you're trying to get him to slow down, they're just yanking you, maybe pulling you, you can't even keep up with them. Or it's that example of a stiff, stubborn neck pulling in the opposite direction. That's these people with God. And Moses knows this. And he's already asking God, pardon our iniquity. Iniquity is another word for sin, right? Inequity, right? Iniquity, right? Pardon us our iniquity and our sin. And despite all of that, please still take us to be the people who receive the good things you give. Be our inheritance. Take us for your inheritance. And God does. Right? God knows exactly the people of Israel at that time who he takes with him. And he knows exactly because, right, it's the same people, right, who are worshiping another god while Moses is up on a mountain. That's why Moses comes down and he's so frustrated he breaks this first set. That's why he goes back up for the second set. God knows who he's leading from slavery to freedom. God knows you and me. He knows our doubts. The times we despair, the times we feel stuck, and it seems like stuff isn't going anywhere. It takes us to the part from Psalm 103. Let's read this together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. That is how God loves and forgives you. He clears the way for you. If you're imagining there's your sin, the things that keep you separate from God and maybe have alienated you from others in your life, that it's too much, it's too high, there's no going back, there's no redemption for me. God's saying, no, I've as high as the heavens are above the earth, that's the open sky you have today. You're free. There's no limit on this ceiling for you. And if you think there's nowhere else you can go in your life because of sin and the things that it's done in you or on you, that you just feel trapped and stuck, God says, no, I've cleared the way for you. As far as the east is from the west, your life is wide open now. You're free. God heals the broken. He binds the broken. He frees the bound, and he leads forward in love. And it's this God that deals with the sin of his own people and leads them forward into the land he promised them. Because God is faithful even when they're faithless. God is faithful even when we are faithless. He leads us forward in love. He takes your pieces and weaves even more of you together because he is a God who is very, very present. He knows your heart. He knows your spirit. He knows your particles and molecules. He knows your cellular structure. He knows everything about you, and he keeps you knit together. And your broken parts, he knits back together. He takes your chains so that you live lifted up, free, forgiven. He takes you with him forward. There's a phrase that one of God's other speakers in the New Testament, a guy named Paul, he says, we pray that we can be keep in step with the Spirit. It's another way of saying kind of keep up with the action God is doing in the world, because he's living and active and he's doing a whole bunch of stuff. And that's what we pray God keeps us a part of here in this neighborhood, that we get to keep up with the pace God is keeping to bring his love to the thousands of generations in this neighborhood. And he doesn't just take you with him forward in love. It's in that love. He doesn't just redeem sinners. He doesn't just liberate the oppressed. He doesn't just bring the dead back to life. But to all enemies of God, to all the enemies of God that he redeems, he liberates, he resurrects all of them, every single one by faith. And those who don't have that faith yet, he sends out you and me to be good, grateful neighbors so that our witness, the way we live our lives, the way we speak, the way we care for them as fellow human beings, they take notice of that and makes them curious. They ask you questions. Why would you go to this church that's inside another church and it's real confusing and hard to explain? Because God is faithful. He leads us forward in love. He loves them the way he loves you. A love that will never quit, that will never diminish. A love that made Jesus endure death, but a love that never dies. A love that binds the broken, that frees the bound, and that leads forward in love. Because the Lord is a God who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. He's forgiving sinners and turns enemies into family. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the grace that you brought us, that made us not just enemies, that enemies that were dead in our own sins. Lord, you not only forgave us and brought us back to life, you brought us back in as sons and daughters. You re-adopted us from the grave. Lord, help us to experience that freedom, that healing, that forward-moving love. For the sake of our own lives as we seek to be in step with you moving forward, and also for the sake of our neighbors. that they may see, that may encounter your love, that may hear about you and live in your name. Amen.